بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. It is a true blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I'm here in Gothenburg, Sweden. Indeed, it is something very amazing for me because for the first time I've come to a European country that is not the UK. It is not Britain, and it is amazing to see the work that is going on, the work that the brothers are engaged in, the work that the sisters are engaged in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for this work, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Ameen. Inshallah, we'll begin the proceedings with the recitation from the Quran, the blessed words of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, that which He spoke to Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us barakah through them. Ameen.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alif lam ra. Tilka ayatul kitabil mubin. Inna أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين إذ قال يوسف لأبيه يا أبت إني رأيت أحد عشر كوكبا والشمس والقمر رأيتهم لي ساجدين قال يا بني لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين وكذلك يجتبيك ربك ويعلمك من تأويل الأحاديث ويتم نعمته عليك وعلى آل يعقوب كما أتمها على أبويك من قبل إبراهيم وإسحاق إن ربك عليم حكيم لقد كان في يوسف وإخوته آيات للسائلين إذ قالوا ليوسف وأخوه أحب إلى أبينا منا ونحن عصبة إن أبانا لفي ضلال مبين اقتلوا يوسف أو اطرحوه أرضا يخل لكم وجه أبيكم وتكونوا من بعده قوما صالحين قال قائل منهم لا تقتلوا يوسف وألقوه في غيابة الجب يلتقطه بعض السيارة إن كنتم فاعلين قالوا يا أبانا ما لك لا تأمنا على يوسف وإنا له لناصحون أرسله معنا غدا يرتع ويلعب وإنا له لحافظون قال إني ليحزنني أن تذهبوا به وأخاف أن يأكله الذئب وأنتم عنه غافلون قالوا لئن أكله الذئب ونحن عصبة إنا إذا لخاسرون فلما ذهبوا به وأجمعوا أن يجعلوه في غيابة الجب وأوحينا إليه لتنبئنهم بأمرهم هذا وهم لا يشعرون وجاءوا أباهم عشاء يبكون قالوا يا أبانا إنا ذهبنا نستبق وتركنا يوسف عند متاعنا فأكله الذئب وما أنت بمؤمن لنا ولو كنا صادقين وجاءوا على قميصه بدم كذب قال بل سولت لكم أنفسكم أمرا فصبر جميل والله المستعان على ما تصفون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين إله العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين. We thank Allah رب العزة والجلال for having gathered us here today. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to surround us with the malaika and to cause His mercy and His sakina to descend upon us and to raise us with the anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam and those whom He has mentioned with them. Ameen. Musa alayhi as-salatu was-salam is spoken about in the Qur'an so often that the fuqaha and the ulama have explained to us that kad al-Qur'an an yakuna Musa. That the Qur'an was about to become about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam because 75% or more, in fact I don't know the percentage, but a large portion of the Qur'an is about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But if we look at the way that Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, He narrates the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to us, then it is in bits and pieces. So the ulama came together and they brought the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam together in order for us to have a chronological sequence of events. But if we take a look at the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal explains this to us and He says,
نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. Indeed, we have revealed to you the best of stories of that which we have revealed in this Qur'an. Why is it the best of stories? Because it is a chronological events, sequence of events that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes about a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who had a son who became a Nabi later on. So this is a story of a father and son who were both Anbiya of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. They came with the message that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came later on with. So this is a profound story and in and of itself. If we take a look at the content, then the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is one of compassion, of love, of hatred amongst brothers, of the plotting and planning that happens in families against each other, and how to deal with such situations. So it was actually at one point literally Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal made it such that these brothers were trying to drive a wedge between father and son. Yet they were both Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At least one was destined to be a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the lessons that we derive from this
are profound because we go through the same struggles today. We go through the same problems, the same issues. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ.
In the story of Yusuf and his brothers, there are signs for those who ask, for those who question, for those who ponder and think over the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a social setting that happened before the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what will this benefit us here in this beautiful country of Sweden? It happened and it was related more than 1,400 years ago. But the miracle of the Quran is such that it is applicable today in our lives. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam goes to his father, إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. Indeed, I saw 11 stars, the moon and the sun, and they were all in prostration to me. They were all in prostration to me. This is a young man or a young boy coming to his father, and he's narrating to him something strange that he saw in his dream. What is the response of Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam? He says to him, Ya bunay, O my dear son, La taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatik. Don't tell this story to your brothers. Fayakidu, don't tell this dream to your brothers. Fayakidu laka kayda. They will plot and plan for you, a very great plot and plan against you. So the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understood the emotions of his children at the time. And he knew that these two brothers, Yusuf and Binyamin, the rest of the brothers were actually jealous of them. He understood. فَيَكِيدُ لَكَ كَيْدًا. So he warns him, watch out, don't tell them about your dream because this will increase them in their jealousy. But how does he approach the matter? Because he knows that these are brothers. They share the same blood. So in order to avoid causing problems amongst them, he literally blames Shaytan, and it was the truth. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Indeed, Shaytan is a clear adversary to human beings. So we know that the evil eye is true. We know that jealousy is true. It happens in the heart. Sometimes you see a brother's got a beautiful new car, and you cannot help but feel like, I wish I had it. And this is why at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a sahabi who was very beautiful and he had amazing skin. So when the next man saw him and he had taken off his clothes, he said, what a beautiful skin you have. And immediately this man completely dropped down and he was unconscious. So they carried him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advises this brother. And he tells him, why is it that you don't want goodness for your own brother? When some of you see something that pleases them, then let him make a dua for barakah for that person. Let him make a dua. Oh Allah, Allahumma barik lahu fi. Oh Allah, bless this man in this car that he has. Bless this man in this beautiful spouse that he has chosen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring them together and unite them with goodness. When you do this, what you are doing is displeasing shaitan and pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna shaitan. Indeed, Satan is a clear adversary to mankind. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually mentions in another verse, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. Indeed, Shaytan is your enemy. He hates you. He wants you to end up in the hellfire. So he will come and beautify the various sins that are there in order to pull you towards the hellfire. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. So take him as an enemy. Take him as a clear adversary. Do you know what happens? we end up taking shaitan as a friend. And naturally, that Satan wants to lead you to the hellfire. But if we think in a 3D manner, and when I say 3D, I mean this world, our actions, this world and the akhirah. So not only will our actions affect the happenings in this world, but they will affect the outcome in the akhirah as well. So when a human being thinks like this, they will realize that the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the words of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, are actually bringing a person closer to salvation. Yet the words of shaitan and the tricks of shaitan are doing what? Bringing a person closer to the fire. Because Satan has a grudge against you, O mankind. And it was literally Satan who felt jealousy in the first place. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرُ. And we know these verses because we've heard them so many times. He became arrogant when he was told, prostrate to Adam. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار, you created me from fire. وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِين, you created him from dust. Why should I place my head on the ground for this human being? This was arrogance, this was jealousy, this was pride. So it is a satanic quality to have jealousy in our hearts. Do you know what you're doing when you say about your brother? When you feel in your heart about your brother that he doesn't deserve this? You're literally saying that I'm not happy with what Allah decreed for him, so may Allah take it away from him. That is dangerous. That is dangerous. You're literally going against the decree of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Because who decreed for that brother to have that beautiful car, that beautiful home, that beautiful spouse, that amazing life, the deen that he inculcates into his life? In fact, we are jealous of everything except for the deen of a human being. Except for when we see a human being who is really and truly obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the type of jealousy that is allowed. When you see a human being that is very close to his maker, and you really feel that you want that in your life as well, that is a good thing, because you will not naturally wish that it is taken away from him, because it is part of righteousness not to wish this. So subhanallah, we learn from the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, لَا تَقْصُصُ رُؤْيَاكَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَتِكَ. And this teaches us as well, that it does not mean that when a brother comes to us, and this happens to us often, you know, I want to marry such and such a sister, but I don't know who she is and what her relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. I don't know how close she is to the deen, etc. Would you be able to advise me, because you are in a position closer to her? So, or the other way around, a sister who wants to get married, and she goes, approaches another sister about a brother whom she wants to marry. Now it becomes wajib, it becomes necessary for us to inform the person, because you're trying to protect their interests. So you inform the person that such and such a person has such defects, but they also have such good qualities. Or they have only these defects that I know of, or they have only these good qualities that I know of. That does not become an evil thing. Because you have mentioned something bad about that person, it does not become an evil thing. But how do you do it? You do it in the best possible manner. And at the end of everything, you say, Wallahu a'lam. Allah knows best. I don't know everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that which is within. Perhaps this person is very close to Islam, but what I know of this person is kada wa kada wa kada. And remember that this is a discussion that you have in private, like how Ya'qub alayhi salatu wa salam speaks to his son in private, and then he blames shaitan. So perhaps you can do the same, that I know such and such, but remember that shaitan is the one that pulls us towards this evil. Shaitan is the one who takes us in this direction. إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا. So after Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam has been told by his father not to tell the brothers what he had seen in the dream. The brothers are now having a conversation amongst themselves. And they say, إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا. Indeed, Yusuf and his brother are very close to my father, to our father. They are more beloved to our father. وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ. Yet we are a group of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Sorry, we are a group. So, our father is in clear misguidance. إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. He is in complete and clear misguidance. So they gathered together and they plotted and planned. It started with a feeling in the heart, a thought in the mind, and they understood that Yusuf is closer to our father. They were jealous. But they could not name it jealousy. So what did they do? They said, وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ. Yet we are a group, so our father is wrong. They drew the wrong conclusion from something that was happening on the ground. And they misunderstood that a group means strength. Groups do not mean strength. Majority does not mean you are right. You could be wrong in a majority. We could all agree on something in this masjid, and it could be wrong. This is possible. This is reality. وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ. When the battle of Badr happened, the oppressed were on one side, and the oppressors were on the other side. The oppressors were large in number. They came out with all of the uddah, with all of the shields and the swords and whatever they could to diminish and kill off these people that they had already oppressed. Yet Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal was with those who were oppressed on the other side. So he, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, strengthened them and he weakened the oppressors until they were defeated. This is clear evidence for us that not all large groups are mighty and strong and on the truth. وَقَتَلَ دَاوُودُ جَالُوتُ. Dawood killed Goliath. He was a giant, but he was an oppressor. He had harmed so many people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala empowered him to kill off a tyrant. So literally, this man had destroyed a tyrant of the time, gotten rid of someone who had literally caused a lot of harm. These people misunderstood. And do you know when your thought starts in, when a thought starts in your mind, and it is an evil thought, and you don't stop it right there, then it will fester into action. And when you have acted on this, then it will become ideology and mentality. You will then inculcate and implement this into your life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us about a man. Shaytan comes to him. And look at the medium that Shaytan uses. He comes to him and he says, Man khalaqa al-ard? Who created the earth? He says, Allah. Man khalaqa al-jibal? Who created the mountains? He says, Allah. Man khalaqa al-anhar? He says, who created the water and the rivers? He says, Allah. So someone may be surprised. Why is Shaytan asking this man a question that leads the person to Allah? But then comes the evil and the filth of Shaytan. And he says to the person, Man khalaqa Allah? Who created Allah? So a person begins to doubt. Question his iman. Question his faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you do this, then you are being obedient to Satan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, so whoever this happens to, فَلْيَسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Let him seek refuge in Allah. وَلْيَقْطَعْ. Let him cut off that evil thought right there. Because when you cut off that evil thought, then it does not become an action. It does not become disbelief and defiance within your heart. And the reality is, everything has a beginning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no end. كان الله ولم يكن شيء. There was Allah and there was nothing in existence. So Shaytan is using a strategy that will bring about, that will make you think logically and arrive at a wrong answer. So who created Allah? Allah is not created because He is the Creator. So when you allow your Thoughts to fester, they become action. And the same goes for the sins that we have. Shaitan beautifies it. Come on, come here. Just put a little hand onto it first. And then do a little bit more, and then continue until you've done the deed. So he doesn't come to you and say, engage in the deed, come on, it's time. No, he beautifies it for you. And today, this is dangerous. It's a tool and it's a weapon. It can, you know, they say, they call it in Arabic, Sayfun Dhu Haddain, or Dha Haddain. It is a sword, double-edged sword. So you can use it for goodness. For example, what we have here today, it's going on to a platform that people are watching even though they are not able to attend. That is a positive use of technology. But when you are alone at home in your room and nobody, nothing to see you, nobody to watch over you. إِذَا مَا خَلَوْتَ بِرِيبَةٍ وَالنَّفْسُ دَاعِيَةٌ إِلَى الطُّغْيَانِ فَاسْتَحِي مِنْ نَظَرِ الْإِلَهِ وَقُلْ لَهَا إِنَّ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الظَّلَامَ يَرَانِ. When you sit at home and you are quiet in a dark room, you have your phone, the only light that is there is the luminous light of your phone. And your nafs is calling you, come on, come on, look at that website. Now is the time nobody is watching you. That is the time you say to your soul, إِنَّ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الظَّلَامَ يَرَانِي. The one who created the darkness, he's the one who sees me. Allahu Akbar, he's covering you, yet you are disobeying him. Allahu Akbar. This is the time to remind yourself of the Creator who covered you. And do you know what? Even if you engage in that sin, Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal is most forgiving, most merciful. He gives you a door even after you have disobeyed Him. You know, if someone comes to us and they disobey us once, especially this is true when it comes to our children. You tell your child, go and do this, they don't listen to you. They're disobedient. You tell the child again, that do this, it is good for you, they don't listen to you. Do this again, and then you get tired of it. You reach a point where you say, okay, do whatever you want to do. Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal never becomes tired of us turning to Him. Every time that we make a mistake, the doors of rahmah, the doors of forgiveness are open. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts us. And this is why the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that أَذْنَبَ عَبْدِي ذَنْبٌ فَقَالَ فَعَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يَأْخُذُ بِالذَّنْبِ وَيَغْفِرُ الذَّنْبَ فَقَالَ. So he seeks the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes a mistake, he sins. He disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal says, قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُ. I've forgiven him. Because he knows that he has a Rabb that takes to task, and he has a Rabb that forgives as well. So he believes in these two qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thus fulfilling the iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have in Him. I've forgiven him. And this continues to happen. ثُمَّ أَذْنَبَ عَبْدٌ ذَنْبًا. And then the same servant commits a sin again. فَعَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يَأْخُذُ بِالذَّنْبِ وَيَغْفِرُ الذَّنْبَ قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُ. He knows that he has a Rabb that takes to task for the sins and he forgives the sins. I have forgiven him. And this continues until Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal says, فَلْيَعْمَلْ مَا شَاءَ. Let him do whatever he wants to do. I've forgiven him because I know that every time he commits a sin, he knows that he has a Rabb that he can turn to, that takes him to task and that will forgive him. So let him do as he pleases. He will be forgiven so long as he turns back to me every time. This is the mercy of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So getting back to our point, when you have committed a sin, the least that you can do is cover that sin. Hide away from the people. And you know, today again, we sometimes have committed a sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected us from. And we come out in the daytime, or we don't even need to wait to the daytime. You find yourself on Facebook, the next thing, I was with such and such a woman doing such and such a deed. I was with such and such a man doing such and such a deed. What that shows is you are proud of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have less of a chance at the maghfirah of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Imagine you have a child, a disobedient child, and that child is doing something that you have commanded him not to do, or her not to do, in private, quietly. They're keeping away from your eyes. They don't want you to see. What does that mean? They literally have feeling for your feeling. They hurt when you hurt. But when a child comes and is defiant out and openly in front of you, this shows that this child doesn't care about your feelings. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغَارْ. Indeed, Allah has feelings. He becomes angry. وَغَيْرَةُ اللَّهِ أَنْ يَقَعَ الْعَبْدُ فِيمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْهِ. And the ghayrah, the anger, the emotion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for a servant to fall in that which he has made haram for him. So when you do something wrong, and you've done something wrong, then cover yourself with the cover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, it is only through His cover that you were able to engage in that sin. And on the day of Qiyamah, there will come people who didn't seek tawbah. They didn't seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they had enough shame to cover themselves when they sinned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call that person on the day of Qiyamah. فَيَكْنِفُ عَلَيْهِ كَنَفَهُ. And he will literally put a kanaf, which is a cover, over him. فَيَسْأَلُهُ وَيُقَرِّرُهُ بِمَا فَعَلُ. And he will ask him and say, أَلَمْ تَفْعَلْ كَذَا. Did you not do such and such a sin? أَلَمْ تَفْعَلْ كَذَا. Did you not engage in such and such a sin? And this person will know that today I have لَا مَفَرْ illa ilallah. I have absolutely no place to run to except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he will say, Bala ya Rabbi. Most definitely I've done these sins, I know of them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, قَدْ سَرْتَرْتُهَا لَكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَهَا أَنَا أَغْفِرُهَا لَكَ الْيَوْمِ. I have covered you in the dunya, so here I am forgiving you these sins today. How many of us would want to be part of this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But what it requires is for us to cover our sins. Ya abati, inni la taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatik fayakidu laka kayda inna shaytana lil insani aduwwun mubin wa kadhalika yajtabika rabbuka wa yu'allimuka min ta'wil al ahadith wa yutimmu ni'matahu alayka wa ala ali yaqub kama atammaha ala abawayka min qablu ibrahima wa ishaq إِنَّ رَبَّكَ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues to explain to us that these people, because they did not cut off that thought at a certain point, they did not cut off that conversation that they were having, plotting and planning against Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, they reached the point where they wanted to action their thoughts and their conversation. So they said, اُقْتُلُوا يُوسُف, kill Yusuf. أو اطرحوه أرضا يخل لكم وجه أبيكم وتكونوا من بعده قوما صالحين. Or throw him into a far land such that the face of your father, the love, the happiness, the pleasure of your father will be for you alone. Yusuf will be out of the equation. You would have cancelled him out. So the pleasure of your father will be for you alone. And after that, you can become righteous people. وَتَكُونُوا مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. You can become righteous people after you have committed this grievous crime. This was a young boy, innocent, done nothing to them whatsoever. And their father was a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that had a bond with this child. Yet they planned, and not only that, but this man or this young boy that they were planning against was literally blood that ran in their own veins. Yet they planned to kill him. Yet they planned and plotted to get rid of him. And they came up with a false solution or a false answer to that equation once again. They believe that if Yusuf is out of the equation, then our father will love us alone. It only drove Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam further away from these people. Why? Because they snatched away something that was prized possession to him. He loved this son of his. Yet they snatched the son away from him. Mercilessly, not taking into consideration the feelings of this old man. So, اقتلوا يوسف. That emotion and that thought became action, and that action was a heinous crime, which is the plot of murder. They wanted to kill off their own brother. And this is what can happen. This is what can happen. If you let your thoughts fester, if you allow yourself to think, why is it that this human being has this? Why did Allah choose him and not choose me? ارضى بما قسم الله لك تكن أغنى الناس. Become a happy person with that which Allah has given you, that which Allah has apportioned for you in your life. You will be the most wealthiest of people. Why the wealthiest of people? Wealth is the wealth of the heart. And if you think I'm lying, ask those who have got billions but are sitting or are lying, unable to use that wealth on a hospital bed. Disabled completely. What use is that wealth to them? What use is that wealth to them? Nothing. They can't enjoy it. They can't benefit from it. Perhaps, and we hope, such a person can benefit from this wealth by spending it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But besides that, what does this person have from this wealth? So, al-ghina ghina al-qalb. The wealth is the wealth of the heart. When you are happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has apportioned and decreed for you, the spouse that you have, the wealth that you have, the car that you drive, alhamdulillah. From the bottom of my heart, I am very happy with what Allah has decreed for me. Then you become the most wealthy of people. إِذَا مَا كُنْتَ ذَا قَلْبٍ قَنُوعٍ. When you become a person of contentment, فَأَنْتَ وَمَالِكُ الدُّنْيَا سَوَاءُ. You and the owner of the entire world are equal. You are at par. Why? Because the person who has the entire world, he is happy. He has nothing more to ask for in life. He doesn't want anything more. His heart is full of this dunya. He's happy with the dunya. And you are happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, even though it is very little. فَأَنْتَ وَمَالِكُ الدُّنْيَا سَوَاءُ. You and the owner of the entire world, the one who contains, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him all of this, you are equal. So the lesson is to become content with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us. And as a result, you will naturally not want the downfall of your brother. You will be happy for your sister. You see that she is doing well in her career. He is doing well in his career. Allahumma barik. Oh Allah, bless this man, bless this woman in their careers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes to us this very heinous crime that these brothers were about to engage in. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ لَا تَقْتُلُوا يُوسُفُ وَأَلْقُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبُ. One of them, he had a bit of a heart. He had a bit of emotion. He loved his brother. Or he had a bit of love for his brother in his heart. So he said, don't kill Yusuf. Killing is going too far. But he didn't have enough love for his brother in order to stop these people from that which they were about to do. So he says, لَا تَقْتُلُوا يُوسُفْ وَأَلْقُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْ. But throw him into the depth of a well. يَلْتَقِطُهُ بَعْضُ السَّيَّارَةِ. Perhaps a caravan of people that is coming will pick up this young boy. يَلْتَقِطْهُ بَعْضُ السَّيَّارَةِ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. If you really must do something, then do this. Put him into the bottom of a well, lower him into this well, and people will pick him up, he will be saved. Now, this is a lesson to us. When we are planning something evil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us signs. And sometimes you will be driving to that evil thing. And your phone rings.
or a notification comes up on your phone, remember Allah. You know those apps that remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sometimes it's not so explicit, but it's a thought that passes in your heart. It's a chance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you. That don't engage in this. You're going towards destruction. These people, this was their reminder. A brother from amongst them stands up and says, hey, you know, don't kill Yusuf. And do you know what's the most amazing part of all of this? Excuse me. Do you know what is the most amazing part of this? Whilst they were planning and plotting against Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, they did not realize that Allah was planning the rise of this young boy to leadership. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sometimes you plot and you plan against your brother, you plot and you plan against your sister. Yet in reality, Allah is using you as a pedestal for that man or that woman. Allahu Akbar. If we think of this, we will come to realize that the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam has so many treasures within it that we cannot complete it over an hour or 2 hours. But it will take many days. We can only shed light on the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. With these few words, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us in the same manner that He has gathered us here today. To gather us in A'ali al-Firdaws al-A'la. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.